covers more than meets the eye. Autobots wage their battle to destroy the evil forces of the Decepticons. Transformers, robots in disguise.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Transformers Cybertronological, the only podcast that watches and reviews every single episode of the Transformers cartoon in chronological order. I'm Adam.
And I'm Kevin, and this week, podcast episode 88, cartoon episode 86, The Quintesson Journal. Original air date, November 11th, 1986. Written by Mr. Richard Merwin. Had to take that a couple times because I wanted to say Merlin. It's Merwin. Richard Merwin. Hey, Adam, what'd you think of this episode?
Okay.
Well, don't worry about it because this is the first, last, and only episode written by Richard Merwin.
The first time you hear me go, yes!
He did write on a bunch of... You should just look him up on IMDb. He wrote on Jim, Ninja Turtles, and Humanoids. And one that stuck out to me that I really enjoyed, he was part of the creative force behind Rubik, the Amazing Cube. That's right, in the 80s, there was a cartoon about a living magical Rubik's Cube, because I don't know why.
And it was one of Kevin's favorite shows.
I did watch it. I did.
I've never heard of this before.
Oh, I don't remember anything about it. It was like a living Rubik's Cube with a face and it could do magic. It was kind of like if Hellraiser was more children appropriate, like a little puzzle box that made magic happen.
Now I just want to watch it.
You should also watch Hellraiser.
That's a good one.
Okay, so the opening of this episode has a narrator. I thought he might be a character, but apparently it's just a narrator talking about this war between these two planets that's been going on for, we learn eventually, thousands of years. We heard the names of these two planets, and I immediately turned, and here we go, we can't get through the first 2 minutes of our podcast anymore without mentioning tfwiki.net, the website without which, I don't know, we would be saying more nonsense than we are already.
Yeah, like, we don't say enough already.
The planets are called Zetarxus and Linark, and I look forward to messing that up throughout the episode.
I didn't even write down their names.
And you were proud of it at the time. You were right. I'm going to write down to just two planets are fighting each other.
Because, wow. Just watch the first, like, 2 minutes of this episode and you'll go, yep, no, I understand.
Yeah, they've been at war for a long time. And if they continue, you know, I just remembered it's not a narrator. It's that guy in the Iron Man suit.
Hold on, Tony Stark's in this episode?
No, you remember they cut to, there was like a dude in like a suit of armor, and they name him by name, but then he doesn't come back for the rest of the episode, which is why I forgot about him.
He has screen time for like 2 seconds.
His name is Melkor, and yes, I did just look that up on tfwiki.net.
Oh, TFWiki, what would we do without you?
As far as I can tell, Melkor never shows up in anywhere else, period, so... Anyhow, Melkor is telling us about the history of these planets and that if this war continues, they will both be extinct within one more generation.
That's still a good bit of time. I mean, wouldn't you say so? Like, I mean, a generation is pretty good.
It's definitely time to, like, work something out, but it's important. Time is of the essence. Let's say that.
I was waiting for him to say, like, within, like, a year's time or something.
With this show, I was expecting an hour. That's... Okay, so we spent a lot of time talking about Zetaxus and Linark, and setting up that this war between them is very important. Now, forget all about that, because you don't need to remember it until the very end of the episode. We cut to some kind of giant yellow canister that's floating through space, and then falls onto a planet. It lands very gently. Shouldn't it, like, meteorite crash?
You would think so, but this is Transformers.
Well, it falls on the ground, and Predaking, who is all of the Predacons formed into their giant combiner robot, is just flying through space. Why? What is this?
I love the fact that they are always like Predaking. Like, they're not just Predacons just flying solo. They are always Predaking.
They do it a lot. They do it more than any of the other combiners, which is cool. I mean, as a kid, I was always like, why wouldn't you just stay Voltron? Why? I mean, he's got the giant sword and everything.
Yeah, I mean, well... That's like the coolest part of the show, and every kid would be like, oh my god, why not? But Predaking's like, you know what? I'm going to feed to those kids that are like, come on, yeah, do it.
So Predaking is flying around and somehow notices a signal on an old Quintesson band. So he calls Cyclonus. He's like, I'm going to check this out, dude.
So, I mean, Kevin's jumping ahead all here with this Predaking thing.
Look, I didn't have this thing in my notes because I didn't think it was as important as you did.
You forgot Superhero Spike. It's very important.
I don't. Okay.
Our listeners think it's important.
I don't think this rises to the level of superhero.
Okay. He's being a superhero because he's trying to get people to come to peace together.
I think that's called a diplomat.
Yeah, peace treaty.
Right. Negotiator.
Now, it's kind of weird that Spike is in this, like, peace treaty or whatever, peace process, whatever. They're having some kind of gathering where they're trying to get these two planets. What's their names again, Kevin?
Zetaxus and Lanark.
He's trying to get them to actually say, all right, we are no longer going to attack each other. Let's come to peace. And it is not working.
Well, it is him and Rodimus Prime, to be fair. It's not just Spike.
That's why it wasn't working. It's because Rodimus is there. I figured it out.
Rodimus does have a really bad attitude about this whole thing, doesn't he?
It's kind of terrible.
Okay. So anyhow, yeah, Spike's there doing his thing. Predaking notices this thing. We cut to the Autobots. Perceptor has picked up on the same signal from this yellow canister. So he calls Skylynx, who's flying around in outer space. And Skylynx, we don't know where he's coming from. It seems like they're coming back from a mission. But he's got a few passengers on board. One of which is, and we are very excited to say, I think this is only the second episode he's been in, Outback, the Australian Autobot that we loved so much.
And how exactly does he talk, Kevin?
Oi, mate, throw another electro shrimp on the Barbie.
It never gets old.
It's pretty, I think that's pretty accurate. Not to an actual Australian, did I call him Italian? Or Australian? As we're talking, I'm hoping that I said Australian and not Italian, but he's Australian. If I said Italian and then I did that shrimp on the Barbie thing, people are going to be like, what is he talking? Does that anything Italian sound like? No, he's Australian. And I'm not trying to do an impression of an accurate Australian accent. I'm trying to do an impression of Outback's Australian accent.
And it's perfect. It's spot on.
An Italian accent goes like this. It's-a me, Mario. That amused Adam way more than I thought it would.
You have made all my dreams come true.
So Outback's in Skylynx. And then behind him, and this is weird, we're going to put an image of this up. Blaster is there, but he's in like boombox form, but he also is gigantic. He's like bigger than Outback. And then he's got Steeljaw and Ramhorn, two of his cassettes, in cassette form, just leaned up against him, while Outback is standing there in robot form talking to Skylynx. It's just weird.
Something that we've never seen before. It was odd to see, and I actually didn't notice it at first.
Well, we also know that Blaster and Soundwave can store multiple tapes inside them, because we've seen them like shoot out multiple tapes. So why weren't they stored inside of him? Why were they just willy-nilly leaned up against him like this?
Maybe it was a vacation. Maybe they actually just got back from vacation, not a mission.
Maybe they were just tired and they fell asleep like that.
We're not going back inside. We're taking a nappy.
Anyhow, they have noticed this signal. Skylynx, basically, the trees seem to be too thick. There's no clearing big enough for him to land. So he just has to dump the other Autobots out of him. And it's not, they just kind of fall to the ground.
Yeah, it was not nice. Like, it was kind of, he was just like, well, I'm just going to have to drop you.
So Predaking is trying to move through this thick jungle, and it's slow going. So he splits into the separate Predacons so that now they can run faster, I guess.
Well, guess what? Too bad, because the Autobots find it first.
Not before they get caught by some vines. Couldn't tell if the vines were, like, alive and coming after them or if they were just clumsy and got caught up in them. But both Outback and Blaster get caught in these vines, and Steeljaw has to chew through them.
That's why they call him Steeljaw.
But then, yes, the Autobots find this yellow canister, and Skylynx comes flying up, accidentally knocks a tree over. It looks like the tree's going to fall on this canister, so Outback shoots the tree a bunch, and it blows up. This somehow activates this yellow canister, and it turns out that this is the titular Quintesson journal.
You keep calling it a canister. The whole time I wrote down capsule. We have all kinds of different names for this.
Well, maybe from here on out we should call it the journal.
We should, because that's what they call it in the episode.
Okay, fair enough. Deal. Shake on it. And here's the sound effect of us shaking. Shake, 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 shake.
So as the Autobots are sitting here watching this projection of Quintesson kind of reading off what's going on in his little journal entry.
Oh, he says, this is a complete record of our commercial enterprises, technological plans, and special projects. And I was like, is this supposed to be boring?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think it actually is supposed to be kind of boring.
Yeah. So to break up the boring part of the episode, here comes the Decepticons.
Here comes the Predacons. They form Predaking. It's a fight. And then Skylynx and Predaking are fighting, and at one point, Predaking comes flying towards Skylynx, who's sitting on the ground. And if we've forgotten to mention it, Skylynx is a space shuttle slash bird dinosaur. So, yeah.
Let's also not forget that right before he dives down at him, there is a kind of weird sequence between them where Skylink seems like he is flying in space and Predaking is only flying in a nice blue pretty sky.
And they're shooting back and forth at each other.
That is a very... There's a large distance between those two during this little gunfight of theirs.
But Skylink is on the ground, and Predaking comes flying down at him, and Skylink basically jumps up, so Predaking slams face first into the ground. Thought it was pretty great. Ended up not being my insane moment, so there you go.
Skylink picks up the rest of the Autobots and says, come on, guys, let's get out of here. Let's go.
At this point, Cyclonus shows up with a couple of the sweeps, and they all take off after the Autobots, who are flying in outer space, and suddenly there's a warp gate. Yep, there's a warp gate. A giant door in space with green crackly energy, and they get pulled through it, and the Decepticons can't find them.
And this was our scene change. Bang! Comes back. They're being pulled in by the Quintessons.
It's a Quintesson ship using this green crackly energy laser as
good tractor beam. I like it. Yep.
Okay, thanks. Yep. The Quintessons pull Skylink inside, and they show up with guns, which we've never seen Quintessons holding guns in their little tentacles, have we?
I thought that this was going to be my insane moment, but
it's pretty great.
It's pretty amazing.
I think maybe a still shot of Quintessons with guns is worth having.
And, you know, the thing is, I don't think that they're guns.
Well, they're definitely guns. You pull a trigger and it shoots something out, but they're not just like laser pistols. They seem to be like telekinesis rays where they can, like, shoot the Autobots and, like, hold them and then, like, drag them around with the rays. Because they even also use it to get their journal and, like, make that float off the floor and go with them. There's some nonsense about Skylink not being able to transform. Trust me, that's not important.
So now we find out that the Autobots are basically just being held prisoner. But that is... it's very short-lived.
So short-lived. They're in the cell.
They're in the cell, and Outback's like, hey, there's like this Energon cube, and he's like, hey, I think this guy's kind of hungry. Hey, you know what's going on with this gate thing right here? Hey, can you shut that off? Here's an Energon cube. And then they leave.
Basically, yeah, the guard is a Sharkticon. Outback offers him the Energon. Sharkticon can't get it because of the energy gate thing. Turns it off, and Blaster just pulls out his gun. You guys put him in prison with a gun?
This whole scene made no sense to me whatsoever.
And then they grab the Quintesson journal because it's floating like 3 feet from their cell.
And this is why this guy only wrote one episode.
So essentially, they all get into Skylink, and he's like, I can't transform, but I can fly. So they fly out of the Quintesson ship. They've escaped again. But no sooner have they escaped from the Quintessons than Galvatron shows up with the other Decepticons.
Of course, my boy Galvatron. That sounded kind of dark and kind of creepy. I got really excited for Galvatron right there.
That's fair enough. Fair enough. Worth getting excited for Galvatron. There's a bit of a scrap. Cyclonus manages to get the Quintesson journal back, or the Decepticons finally get it for the first time, I guess, and the Decepticons take off with it. We briefly drop in on Rodimus Prime and Spike back at the peace talks. Things are not going well. That's really about it.
And once again, Rodimus is not happy about it.
He's like, this isn't going well, man. I wanted him to say Optimus Prime could have done this. You know, just not as good as that guy Optimus. Cry, cry, cry. Then we get into something. I actually thought this was by far the most interesting plot point in this episode. The Quintessons contact the Zetaxans. I've had to turn the page on my notes, so I'm going off of memory, and the Lanarkians, and they separately tell both of them that they are bringing the ultimate weapon. They're going to sell the ultimate weapon to both sides in this war. They are supplying weapons to both sides in this war. And I thought that was very interesting. And it made me wonder if Richard Merwin was trying to make reference to the Iran-Contra affair, where some people in the American government got busted selling weapons to both sides of a conflict, or providing weapons, maybe not selling. I'm not sure how the timeline lines up. I did like 30 seconds of research and it didn't really give me the answers. It's around the time this episode would have come out, but I don't know if it would have been public knowledge or not. But hey, there's an interesting conspiracy theory for you guys out there, so you can have that for free.
Look at you tying things together like that, Kev. Unbelievably proud of you.
Why, thank you, sir. I will take that compliment and stick it on my wall.
Fridge would have been better, but anyway.
Okay. The Decepticons land on some planet, and they're like, this isn't on any star charts, so we can check this out without having to worry about anything. No, you can't. The Autobots are going to be here in like a minute. You just don't know it yet.
It's like they had like time. They're like, hey, let's just stop here and watch some old-time home videos. Hey, start up the popcorn real quick. We got time.
Galvatron does manage to get the journal to play a little bit. He seems bored by it because it's very technical stuff. But the Quintessons are basically explaining, like, oh, there was this one planet, we sold them technology that used up all their natural resources, their economy collapsed, and we were able to take over the planet and bring it under Quintesson control. Then there was another planet, we sold technology to them that caused their environment to fall apart, and we eventually, their plants all died, and so we sold them, what were they called, Adam?
Plantobots! Plantobots!
Yeah, they sold them Plantobots at a considerable profit.
I love he knew that I couldn't wait to say that. Plantobots. Like, it was amazing.
I could see you vibrating out of the corner of my eye, so.
So anyway, we're learning all this great information, and then the Autobots come in and attack.
Hold on. And finally, we learn that the Quintessons, well, I guess we already knew this, but the Quintessons have actually been selling to Zetaxus and Lanark this whole time. Like, they sold them handguns, and they sold them bigger guns, and they sold them spaceships. They've been accelerating this war for thousands of years just so they could profit by selling weapons to both sides. The Autobots overhear this as they approach, and they're like, hey, that would be some good information at the peace talks. We've got to get this journal to the peace talks. And finally, the two completely separate parts of this episode make sense that they're happening in the same episode.
Everything is coming together in this episode?
It is. Now all the Autobots have to do is get that journal. So everybody's shooting at everybody.
And while everybody's shooting at everybody, here comes the Quintessons.
And they get the journal back. And I think somebody's been like, oh, the Quintessons got the journal back again. I'm like, yeah, this is a bit of a hot potato plot here. But so the Autobots and the Decepticons take off after the Quintessons now. Back on Cybertron, Rodimus Prime has to, like, physically stop a fight between these two sides.
And it's also kind of weird looking.
At one point, it does look like he has a guy in a headlock or something. It's strange. We see both sides, like, space armadas are approaching. The peace talks aren't just breaking down. It looks like active fighting is about to break out. The Quintessons then contact both sides and say, we're about to make delivery. We're about to bring you your ultimate weapon. And then when they turn off the communications, they're talking to, well, it's, I think it's an Alicon. And they're talking to themselves, and they're like, so they're going to make delivery to both sides. And then the Quintessons notice, hey, the Decepticons are back.
And the Decepticons are like, hey, yeah, we're here. About to blow some stuff up.
One of the Quintessons is like, maybe we use one of the Omega Bombs on the Decepticons. They're like, that's half our profit. Let's just warp out of here. So they open another warp gate. So now they've arrived at Zetaxus and Lanark. And somebody says, hey, who do we deliver to first? And the other one's like, no, we have to deliver to both of them at the same time so we can get paid before they blow each other's planets up.
And guess who has a problem with that? Skylynx! He winds up attacking the Quintessons, breaking through the top of their ship, kind of like ripping a hole open in it. It's kind of awesome.
With his teeth. Yeah. So I guess he was able to transform now, so that plot point didn't matter. Like I said, it wouldn't.
And he steals the capsule. I mean, journal.
Rodimus Prime is at his wit's end. He actually, like, physically forces the leaders of these two sides into chairs. They don't seem to be getting anywhere. Skylynx bursts through the wall, and Outback's like, listen to this. And he plays it, and it's the Quintesson basically saying, like, yeah, we made so much money selling to both sides and escalating their war, and it's been really great for us because we've made a lot of money. And understandably, these two leaders are pretty upset that they've been the victims of war profiteering and have been at war for thousands of years just to make the Quintessons money.
And they are not happy at all.
We look through the hole in the wall that Skylynx made. There goes the Quintesson ship. And this Quintesson basically says, you guys just, I don't know how he knew. How did he overhear them realizing this? But he realizes it. He calls them on the video screen and he's like, oh, you found out. Well, we're going to deliver these ultimate weapons. It was unclear to me if they were just going to deliver the weapons and then hope that the two planets still blew each other up, or if they were going to blow up the two planets themselves. I was not clear on that.
Yeah, so Quintessons are just confusing, you know? I mean, they don't really make much sense, but hey, they know how to make money.
Now, what happens next is my insane moment. And it's kind of impossible to finish the episode without talking about it. So I'm just going to give you the short version. We'll get into the details later. Rodimus and Ultra Magnus blow up the Quintesson ship. Okay, that works,
that's
right?
Good. That's yeah. Good. That's minimal. I like it.
And then we basically end with these two leaders from Zetaxus and Lanark. One of them says, I don't like you. I don't like your people, but I don't like being part of a senseless war. You stay on your planet. We'll stay on ours. The end.
Great episode. Weekly segments.
To mix things up, I'm going to start things off with my worst line of dialogue. It actually comes from Rodimus Prime and Spike Witwicky. Near the end of the episode, when the peace talks have pretty well broken down into fighting, Rodimus Prime says, this reminds me of your wrestling shows on Earth. And Spike says, "At least those are faked, Rodimus."
"This reminds me of your wrestling shows on Earth.
At least those are faked, Rodimus."
This just felt too sincere. Like, you're trying too hard. You can't have this goofy cartoon with these strange alien creatures punching each other the whole time and then try to get this real deep emotion. Nah, come on, cut it out.
I like this line, all right? It's from Superhero Spike, so I loved it. Get over it, Kevin. It was amazing.
Whatever, you wrestling-loving dude.
Powerbomb onto my worst line.
Oh, yeah!
Mine comes from Predaking and Galvatron. And Predaking is very angry right now, and he says, "Not until Scarlinks dies." And Galvatron has something to say about that. "I say who dies and when."
"Not until Skylinks dies. I say who dies and when."
Don't know why it's my worst line, because I've actually kind of enjoyed it. But it's also kind of like one of those things where I feel like Galvatron just always has something to say. Like, he always has to put his little input in, because let Predaking have like his moment. Why not?
I believe it was followed up with Predaking saying, like, "But you said no mercy," and Galvatron's like, "Right, and that's why I won't show you any." And he punches Predaking in the gut. It was good stuff.
Get a little chuckle out of that, Kev?
I did, in fact.
And your best line, sir?
My best line is when Galvatron is watching the Quintesson Journal play. So the Quintesson in the recording says, "Item 457, Planet Tixlara." And Galvatron says, "This is it! The secrets of the Quintessons are ours!" And the Quintesson says, "A large fleet of Quintesson transport vessels were sold to Tixlara. The primitive nuclear fuel requirements drained the planet's mineral resources, bringing the Tixlarian economy under Quintesson control." And Galvatron says, "This is useless!"
Item 457, Planet Tixlara.
"This is it! The secrets of the Quintessons are ours.
A large fleet of Quintesson transport vessels were sold to Tixlara. The primitive nuclear fuel requirements drained the planet's mineral resources, bringing the Tixlaran economy under Quintesson control.
This is useless."
It was just perfect to me. Galvatron is so excited, like, "We finally have this thing!" And then he watches it and he's like, "This is just boring record-taking. This is an Excel spreadsheet come to life. What good is this to me?"
He reminds me of a child at this point, where, like, you set a child down and try to get them doing something, like, nice and calm and this and that, and they don't want to do anything. They want to be, like, berserk, off the walls, play with everything, touch everything. That is Galvatron at this moment.
Well, it's also like a child, like, you actually give them what they want, and they're like, "Well, it doesn't do anything." And you're like, "Yeah, because you wanted the broken TV remote." How about you? Your best line, sir?
My best line comes from a Quintesson and an Alicon this week. Look at that. No big characters. Well, I guess Quintessons can be a little bit of a big character, but hey. Quintesson says, "I've never seen two planets more eager to blow each other to dust." And the Alicon replies with, "What matter so long as we reap the profits?"
"I've never seen two planets more eager to blow each other to dust."
"What matter so long as we reap the profits?"
I just really enjoyed it because it just sounded like two evil entities going back and forth with each other, and it was just good.
"This truly will teach children the dangers of capitalism run amok without enough government oversight, folks."
That got a lot bigger than what I was talking about.
Also, war profiteering is evil. Taking some big stances this week. I apologize.
About that cartoon. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Let's get back to a lighter tone. Why don't you do your insane moment first?
So, insane moments are good. Mine is nowhere near as good as Kevin's this week. So, mine is at a point where Skylinks is actually trying to escape, and the Decepticons start shooting at him, and finally, somebody hits somebody else with a weapon, and it's amazing, and I kind of really enjoyed it. Skylinks gets a giant hole blown open in the side of him, and all of the Autobots come pouring out of him, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and I believe one of the Autobots is like maybe Blaster says, like, "Hey, Skylinks, help." And Skylinks is like, "Time for you to stand up and fight, boys." Something to that effect.
There it is. You got your Skylinks quote. You got it.
I love Skylinks.
And now on to your insane moment that we hinted at earlier.
Well, mine also involves Skylinks. So, it's the end of the episode. The Quintessons are maybe going to blow these two planets up, or at least sell them dangerous bombs. We see the Quintesson ship go past the hole in the wall. Rodimus Prime says, "Let's move," and him and Ultra Magnus run over. They jump up on Sky Lynx's back. They don't get inside of him, they get on his back. He flies through the hole in the wall with them, like, kneeling, one knee down on his back. They get into outer space, stand up on his back, pull their handguns, and shoot the Quintesson ship twice, and that makes it crash into a planet, at which point the Omega Bombs go off, and there is what looks like a decuple nuclear explosion going on in outer space. And Rodimus is just like, "Well, good job. You definitely murdered everybody on board." I mean, they know they were going to blow up two planets, but still.
And that's the insane moment that we hinted at earlier. Just by saying that they shot down the Quintesson ship. Can you believe it?
Man, this one, if you're someone who listens to the show and always says, like, "Eh, I'm not going to bother looking at the insane moments," this one is worth it, man. Go to the website. Go to CybertronOlogical.com, and this will be the first episode, unless you're listening to this in the future. Then it won't be, because that's how time works. But just check it out. All right, all that leaves is the Transformers drinking game, where you drink every time a Transformer transforms, every time there's a scene change, and every time there's a new character. We didn't count any new characters this week because there weren't any new Transformer characters, although we should have drank for Outback because I don't know how often we're going to see him.
Hopefully again. I hope.
So, Adam, on a scale of 1 to 5, where are you putting the Quintesson Journal?
I'm going to give it a 3 just to be nice, because there was a lot of scene changes. And that's the main thing. There were some Transformers with the combiners. We had Predaking. We had Kevin Coffin. We had Predaking. He liked to do a little bit of his transforming and stuff like that. So I'm going to give it a 3, and I'm being nice.
Maybe I'm grading on a curve here. I'm going to go at least 3.5. I did think there was a reasonable amount of transformation and a lot of scene changes. So to me, it felt like a slightly heavier. They've been a pretty light this season with a couple of rare exceptions. So I am going to push it to 3.5, but we're right there in the same general area.
So anyway, that about wraps it up for this week. And it was a fun episode. Not as crazy and not as eventful as our recent episodes, but still fun. And I feel like they're keeping up with the pace, not unless they're slowing things down to just give us a big bangaroo coming forward.
Well, I guess we'll find out. In the meantime, like I said, go to CybertronOlogical.com. You can find every episode there, and you can subscribe to us as well. Feel free to give us a rating in the iTunes store or Apple iPod. I don't use an Apple device. What's it called? Podcasts? Apple Podcasts? I think it's called Apple Podcasts. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can email us. You can find all that at the website as well. And let's just all cross our fingers and hope Melkor comes back.
Melkor!